Welcome to Light Bites, an occasional podcast from Leeds Institute for Teaching Excellence at the University of Leeds.
Episodes will be hosted by members of the Light team.
And we'll be showcasing the scholarship of teaching and learning from across the university.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Light Bites podcast. I'm Emma Peasland, Head of Research in Leeds Institute for Teaching Excellence at the University of Leeds. And today I'm delighted to be joined by Will Young, Tom Cooper and Anne Tallentire, who are going to be sharing the story of the fellowship that you have just completed, which was called Redefining Sustainability in the Curriculum. Hello.
Hello, Emma.
Great to see you all today. I wonder if a good place for us to start would be for you to introduce yourselves. So, Will, I don't know if you want to go first.
Thanks. So, I'm William Young. I'm Professor of Sustainability and Business in the Sustainability Research Institute. And I'm also Academic Lead for Sustainable Curriculum, which is part of the Climate Plan.
Excellent. And Tom?
Hi, I'm Tom Cooper. I'm Head of Sustainability and lead the Sustainability Service here at the University of Leeds. And I'm also part of that leadership team on the Sustainable Curriculum Programme.
Brilliant. And finally, Anne.
Hello, Anne Tallentire. I'm the Professor of Sustainability and Business, also in the Sustainability Research Institute. So I'm the sort of second academic in this team. I'm part of the Sustainable Curriculum Leadership Team. And I also have other roles in the university, which I'll pick up on as we go through this podcast. Yeah.
Brilliant. We don't always have fellowships undertaken by a group like this and a group with different job families as well. So I wonder if you wanted to start by telling us a bit about how you got together and began collaborating.
Yeah, so we're all part of that leadership team of the Sustainable Curriculum Principle, which is part of the university's climate plan. So that overall climate plan is around committing us to how we reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, support a net zero city, deliver our sustainable travel ambitions, responsible investments, a really broad climate plan, but also shaping how we refocus our research and teaching. And the Sustainable Curriculum Principle commits to giving all of our students that opportunity to engage in sustainability through their course, through the community, both now and in the future. So we've been working together, the three of us, for a long time on sustainability in the curriculum already, but the climate plan gave it a real momentum and emphasis so that we could kind of really push forward with the delivery and have more space and capacity to be able to sort of step back from the everyday activity and kind of do some reading and thinking and actually get into some understanding together through the fellowship. It's probably worth noting in terms of what do we mean by sustainable curriculum. So we use the QAA's definition of education for sustainable development, which is the process for creating curriculum structures and subject relevant content to support and enact sustainable development. And by sustainable development, we mean an aspirational ongoing process of addressing social, environmental, economic concerns to create a better world. So yeah, we've been working together for a while on the Sustainable Curriculum Programme, but to get things really moving, the fellowship was the ideal opportunity to be able to do that.
Brilliant. So tell us a little bit about what you did for the fellowship. So then what was the research? What was it that you wanted to investigate and so on?
So with all good projects, we have some research questions. So we had two that we really based the fellowship on. So the first was, what does it mean to embed sustainability into the curriculum? And the second one was, what processes support successful embedding? So really, we're looking for three things out from this fellowship. The first was to give us some evidence to base the curriculum at Leeds on, sustainable curriculum on, so that from the literature, policy and practice, to have, provide a better framework as grounded. And then the second one really was about practice. So we wanted to embed sustainability into the curriculum, but in a way for there to be institutional level embedding as opposed to just in modules or at the top where we have a commitment and there's this void in between. So that we have an importance of having stories of what work here at Leeds is about, sustainable curriculum. And then also, I think one of the key things for us was this working across the university. So we've got the partnership between academics and sustainability service. And there's that partnership moving forward, as opposed to us as individuals doing our little things and contributing our pet projects. So that's really bringing together what we wanted to do, and to use that evidence from practice, best practice, and the literature and so on to ground what we're doing on the university-wide project.
Excellent. And I mean, that sounds marvellous, doesn't it, to learn from stories of what's going well already and to work in partnership across the university. So I wonder if you would expand a little bit and tell us about how you went about answering the questions that you started with.
Yeah, of course, I'll take over on that bit. And I suppose just building on what Will just said about the gaps in the literature about that institutional perspective. So I think that's where we were trying to think about it in a very holistic sense. So as we started looking at the literature, trying to find some core concepts to help us frame the research and to root our analysis on what's happening in Leeds. So we found a bit of a gap, actually. There wasn't an awful lot. So we've had to look at, this is where other pieces of work have helped inform what we're thinking about. So we're looking at not just what's in the sustainable curriculum literature, but also organisational change literature to try and get that whole university perspective. Anyway, so big literature search at the beginning and ongoing. And as Will said, we wanted to root our analysis of what's happening at Leeds at multiple points, multiple levels. So we've used a combination of sort of 19 interviews with people across the university involved in different aspects of student education policy. So some who are looking at education more broadly because we're thinking about education, but also those who are engaged explicitly at trying to bring sustainability into their own practice. So there was a broad 19 interviews, and then we followed that up with a series of 4 case studies with these colleagues who were testing out and engaging with sustainability education. Interestingly, well, importantly, we didn't go to our own colleagues in the Sustainability Research Institute. We were not because we didn't appreciate their practice, but we were trying to see what people across the university were doing. Yeah, we wanted to build on the experience of colleagues right across the university who didn't necessarily see themselves as sustainability professionals, and start from a very appreciative inquiry perspective about what they were doing. Not there to critique, not there to criticise what they were doing, but learn from them and that follow their learning journey. And there was quite a focus on reflection with our case study educators, and also listening to students' perspectives where we could. It's a bit of a challenge in that, but trying to have that reflective approach. We had hoped to do some more kind of action research, but it didn't prove possible in the time that we had available, but still the focus was very much on that reflective learning in the case studies. So that was the sort of data collection. So the interviews and the case studies with the support from students in Light, the student
our student research assistants.
That's the word, yep. Student research assistants in Light to help us do that. So once we got all the data, we went to the usual process of qualitative coding, generating themes, pulling out insightful quotes, trying to understand and tease out the contrast and sometimes the contradictions within that, and trying to pull together a narrative of what we saw as a process of embedding. So embedding became a key word for us about what that means in practice at different levels for different people associated with their different roles within the institution.
Excellent. And I'm interested, I'm sure you'll say a little bit more about your case studies in a minute, but I'm curious about the fact that you chose people who didn't see themselves as sustainability professionals to work with in developing these case studies. So were there particular parts of the university that you approached for that, or where your case studies emerged from?
We did have a frame to try and get some breadth across. We didn't We ended up having probably more STEM people than we might than others.
Mm-hmm.
So we have got one of them, arts and humanities. So we tried to get a breadth, but it was quite challenging to get more arts and humanities people involved. But I think we still got some interesting stories about working across disciplines from that. I suppose maybe it should qualify a little bit in terms of how we picked the people, or in terms of how they were engaged with sustainability. Mm-hmm. They were enthusiasts, they were interested, and some of them came from our emerging Lunchy community, so the Leeds University Network for Sustainability in Higher Education. And it's sort of responding to a demand from the people in that community of thinking about, where do I start? How do I get involved? I'd like to do this, but not sure how. So it was almost like we were picking people like you in that Lunchy community as part of that approach of to try and select.
Excellent. So I'd love to hear a bit about what you found out then from your interviews and through these case studies.
So I will continue this story. So through that process of coding, generating themes, and I think we ended up with 60 plus themes at one point, and it was at multiple levels. And really where we came to was identifying three spaces, so three clusters that we saw very much. So three clusters of themes that we saw very much as spaces of activity. And these were spaces that shaped embedding sustainability into the curriculum. These are the sustainability space, the education space, and the institutional space. So the sustainability space is about the vision for sustainability that our colleagues were expressing. The knowledges and capabilities, the pedagogies they used, and how those are integrated into a subject, or indeed university life more broadly. So the second space was the education space, and this is given that we are looking at sustainable curriculum and not sustainability in its entirety. We're obviously focusing on how sustainability is articulated across education activities, and that includes structures, norms, themes relating to how education is organised, managed and conceptualised in the institution, which leads to the third space, which is the institutional space, which captures the sort of the broad ambitions of the organisation with respect to sustainability, but also the structures and processes that affect the time and recognition for staff to engage with these kinds of ideas, particularly sustainability in education. And how that might help genuine efforts on the part of the university to foreground and prioritise sustainability. So having these three spaces helped us think through not just what was going on in these three spaces, but also how they interconnected and the overlap. So some of our codes were very much in that, oh gosh, is this education? Is this sustainability? Yeah. Lovely Venn diagram came out of this to help us think through the interconnectedness of the three spaces, but also the tensions between them. And it helped us think much more about the way sustainability in education is supported and valued in the organisation. And it helped us think through a better model for furthering and understanding the context of embedding. Just double back to the interviews a little bit more. So I think through our interviews, there was a lot of enthusiasm for sustainability in the curriculum, but not always an understanding of how to do it. So again, this is helping us point us about what we need to do going forward. And whilst there was an institutional commitment, well, there is an institutional commitment, and that's getting more clearly articulated. So this institutional commitment to embedding sustainability, what this means for different colleagues wasn't always very clear. And there was often this sense of constraints. And it's not just sometimes about time, but also lack of direction sometimes. And also how busy that space for education can be was another challenge that we found. So that's why the education space was pretty important to us. Some things were about the challenges to doing sustainability. Some misunderstanding from some colleagues that it was all about the tech and a more scientific approach, and sometimes a confusion about terms. Sometimes there was a bit of a defensiveness about what they could or they couldn't do in their disciplines. So it was interesting to think about how we could help colleagues unpack some of that. But it was useful to recognise that starting point from some people, as well as that balancing with an enthusiasm and a willingness, but also a bit of a confusion.
And just to build on the case studies a bit as well, so with these four case studies provided some really good examples of the different starting points for how sustainability is being embedded in different disciplines through projects and collaboration, sustainability skills development, to the sustainable development goals, or how it's been linked to sort of program level to outcome level, program level outcomes. So the first case study looked at a final year capstone module it was a STEM example, and it adopts a sort of a grand challenges approach, encouraging student-led groups through projects to address global issues. And that case study in particular highlighted the need to scaffold skill development throughout the programme to build student skills and confidence in preparation for that capstone rather than landing it on them in that sort of final year. Whereas the second case study was more about bringing interdisciplinary and critical thinking into, a science master's programme. But it aimed to challenge conventional thinking more and to encourage students to rethink their disciplinary knowledge and consider different perspectives and engage in discussion and collaboration together to kind of explore those different perspectives. The third case study was the one that we had that wasn't a STEM module or program actually. And that was really about sort of building that critical understanding of sustainability for art students who want to engage in sustainability in their careers, but they need guidance as to what that means in theory and in practice. So one of the key findings there was that the challenge of enabling colleagues across a whole program to recognise the sort of multiple dimensions of sustainability and not just think about those tech solutions, as Anne was referring to before, but perhaps it's about better understanding it within the discipline and that disciplinary context. And then the last case study sort of brings together sustainability into group work in an enterprise focus level 3 module. And the students are introduced to the idea of wicked problems, those challenges with no clear solutions. And then they use the SDGs as a framework for the students to focus in on the sort of project outcome. So what was particularly interesting in that case study was how the module leader was learning about sustainability alongside the students. They were also developing their knowledge, their understanding of sustainability and that SDG context, UN SDG context. So broadly across the case studies, they all highlight the importance of that critical thinking, thinking outside or beyond the sort of traditional disciplinary boundaries that they may otherwise have been doing. And there's the theme of identifying a need to support students with complexity across them all, how they consider those wicked problems and how they understand that there isn't just one solution, but a need for systems thinking, for collaboration in problem solving, those kinds of areas.
That's really interesting. And there's kind of two themes that I think that both you, Tom, and Anne spoke about in your discussion of your findings then, which were the fact that sustainability might take, or considerations of sustainability might take, different form or frame in different disciplines. Mm-hmm. And also that there are multiple dimensions of sustainability, and these might be related to how they're viewed in different disciplines. But I was wondering if you might be able to maybe say a little bit more about that, or give us some examples of how those things might occur differently in different contexts.
I think I'd start by saying that, you know, it's a really important element of what we're trying to achieve through the Sustainable Curriculum Programme here at Leeds, and this is helping to build the evidence around that and reinforce the idea that it's hugely important that it is done in a discipline-specific way. And there isn't a one-size-fits-all approach to teaching sustainability, but actually if it is taught in a discipline-specific way and we can empower educators to be able to interpret sustainability in that context, then they're going to engage students in a way that's meaningful to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it doesn't feel like something that's kind of added on, like here's your sustainability content or assessment or something like that.
Absolutely, that's right. And there can be a use and a need for some basic level understanding of what is sustainability or what are the UN SDGs, for example, and we can provide that through online training that we provide. But there are, to meaningfully engage with sustainability and to understand it in the context of the discipline, it has to be thought about in that kind of context. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's all about that skills focus and the pedagogies underpinning, because then you can help develop that critical thinking. And then what does it mean for me? What does it mean for my discipline? What does this mean for my practice?
Mm-hmm.
Pulling that through, both for the student and for the educator, is a key thing. And I think, I suppose we've already always sort of felt that, and the literature kind of says that, but seeing that played out through the case studies and hearing people trying to tease out what does this mean for the institution, I think was quite helpful, being able to do that in situ here.
Brilliant.
Yeah, outside of our sort of silos of Sustainability Research Institute and the Sustainability Service, we know what we're doing, but when we're trying to mainstream it across the institution to go out of these case studies, it's really opened eyes and how to look how other people see sustainability and how they want to implement it in their subjects.
Brilliant. It's always really interesting, isn't it, when you speak to people with a slightly different understanding or a slightly different viewpoint of the same concept that you're it's key to the work that you do every day. It's really interesting to hear about what you did and how you did it and everything like that. But having been through the process, I wonder if you were going to start again, is there anything that you might do a little bit differently?
Yeah, I think the key one would have been starting the case studies earlier,
mm-hmm.
so that we've had more time to get these iterations of reflection that we would have liked, that sort of more action researchy piece, to try and see, follow practice in one term, see what's changed and see how it impacted. But we didn't manage to get those iterations. Sometimes the academic year becomes a bit of a challenge there within the timescale of a project.
Mm.
And I suppose the other thing about starting earlier would have been more opportunities to find different ways of engaging students and hearing what they thought. I think case study 2 was probably the best one for getting the students' voice thinking back. Possibly that's because they were more mature students mm-hmm. and masters. But anyway, just thinking of different ways to have their voice engaged would be good.
Yeah, it's always easy with hindsight, isn't it, to see where we could kind of tweak our research designs and our approaches if we were going to have the opportunity to start over again. And then I guess thinking about the findings that you've got from your research, one thing that I'm always really interested in is how these are going to influence practice here at the university and perhaps even beyond. And you are all members of the Sustainable Curriculum Leadership Team. So I'm wondering how the findings might be influencing the work of the programme.
So I think we saw it in the contributions sort of in four sort of ways. One was the first one was really into the operational implementation of how we worked in terms of sustainable curriculum principle, in terms of our SharePoint for staff, workshops on skills and inclusive sustainability, embedding the processes at multiple levels as opposed to just where we thought it was important. But there was not one approach, and to see that as a good thing, that people could own how they implemented sustainability, and for us to support that, as opposed to us coming in with our structure and saying this is the only way, and giving people space and resources to collaborate and to think about how they're going to do things, as opposed to a sort of a tick box approach. And I think that's really helped us to work with colleagues across the university. The second one was reinforcing us working with other theme leads across the university, such as ethics and enterprise and the careers and so on, to work together to bring the different skills and the complementarities that we had in terms of some of our pedagogies and our approaches with other themes where they have other reaches that we don't have and so on. And working with the education enhancement teams. And I think that's really helped to broaden how we see sustainability being implemented across the university. The third one, of course, was our community of practice lunchy that was growing, and being able to share findings and discuss and create conversations within that across different roles and disciplines, across services and different academic units and so on. I think that's been really useful. And finally, to feed into another Light Fellowship that's looking at sustainability in curriculum, led by Vasiliki and Claire. And I think that's really important to have that connection to keep the what we've learned and the literature we've got, and to pass it on to another Light Fellowship.
Yeah, I mean, that's great, isn't it? That there's an ongoing piece of work that can come out of this and take your findings and then extend them in a new way. I think that's marvellous.
And I think, just going back to what we would have done differently, it's great that our colleagues, Claire and Vasiliki, are working with students from day one. Mm-hmm. So they're really doing much more of a co-production piece, working with students, so that voice of students gets much more articulated in their work, which is great to see.
Yeah, we'll look forward to seeing how that fellowship develops. And we never know, we might be here recording another episode of Light Bites, like a sustainability part two with Claire and Vasiliki when they reach the end of their fellowship. So you've talked about how the findings are influencing the sustainable curriculum programme. And then I'm wondering if you've seen any changes or impacts that have come out of that since you completed your fellowship.
I think for the research has really informed and validated our sort of network approach. So certainly, what we mean by that is that many universities are implementing sustainability into curriculum by having compulsory modules. And we've learned through this is not a good approach to reach all students and staff. So we're using this network approach to embed sustainability, so threading through the whole institution and not just focusing on pockets of good practice or single or compulsory courses. It recognises the need to engage at an institutional level and understand the practice of sustainability in the university.
And I think something that I've really seen has evolved while we've been working on the fellowship is that it's strengthened that collaborative relationship between the Sustainability Service and the Sustainability Research Institute at a time when we're working at the moment on refreshing our University of Leeds framework for environmental and social responsibility, our strategic approach to sustainability most broadly. And curriculum is increasingly an area of strength for Leeds, mm-hmm. In terms of our holistic approach and particularly around sustainability. So it's informing that wider approach to environmental and social responsibility. And that links back, in terms of our three spaces, to the institutional space. Mm-hmm. That's been really important for us.
Brilliant. And I guess we're talking about the way that you've represented those three spaces when you were talking about your findings in a Venn diagram. And if people are interested in seeing that and all the components that are within those spaces and to see a bit of a description of the case studies and that kind of thing, then you've produced a snapshot report from the fellowship, and that's available on the Light website. So that's teachingexcellence.leeds.ac.uk.
I was just going to add a little bit more about how we're building on the lessons or the impacts that the fellowship has had. And some of this is, yes, within the work of the programme, but also how we're working to influence professional development more broadly, particularly for educators, but also some of the findings will go in for other categories of staff. So we're in discussion now with ODPL about how we bring sustainability into existing professional development programmes. So not creating just new things. Again, that thread of embedding into what exists, enhancing what exists, rather than just saying new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So doing this particularly, we've mentioned Lunchy as a sort of informal space, but also more formally through programmes like Foundations in Teaching and our postgraduate certificate in education as well. We haven't got there yet, mm-hmm. but these are impacts that we're hoping to generate, and we've got commitment to do so over the next year or so.
Excellent. And just to clarify, that ODPL is Organisational Development and Professional Learning here, who is a department that offers that kind of professional development provision.
Indeed.
Yeah. And do you have any plans for sharing this research then? What kind of comes next in the process?
Well, next month I'm going to go to the Netherlands to Eurosotel with a bunch of other colleagues from Light and across the university. So supported by Light to go there. So that will be presenting on our three spaces model and fleshing that out a little bit more. We also presented this last year at the Advanced HE Conference on Learning and Teaching, and got a sense that some people were very keen on us developing that model further, the three spaces and that interface between the sustainability space and what the practitioners are doing, how it fits in with education policy of the university, and importantly, that whole institution space. So I've got a sense that would like to develop that further through these presentations in the Netherlands, building what we did last year, but hopefully a paper too. So watch this space.
Excellent. We'll look forward to that. And the final thing that I'm interested to know, and I'm always interested to find this out from all of the fellows that we work with in Light, is whether you experienced any personal or professional benefits for yourselves from undertaking the research.
I'll start there. And I think absolutely, yes. As I think, as we said at the start, the fellowship's given us the space to get into the literature. And for me, it was a literature that I always knew existed. It was there. I dabbled in it before, but it was now to get into it. Obviously, there's the foundation for doing the research. And I think it's opened my eyes to better understanding of the scholarship of teaching and learning, SOTL, or PEDAR, as we're talking about it in the university. And so doing it as a practitioner rather than just reading about it. And so that's helped me in my own development as an academic leader. So that insight from learning by doing and doing a research project in pedagogical research. And that's helped me in my role working with organisational development and professional learning. So I'm helping colleagues in that team think about how we might create a more supportive culture for education and educators. So I think doing this fellowship has really helped inform my strategy for that activity, and I think given me a new language and legitimacy in that space. And I think the other thing, flag up, that I don't think I would have gone forward with getting a principal fellowship of the Higher Education Academy, PFHEA, without this. It helped again give me that language, legitimacy, insights, literature, but also that practice thing. So it's helped me enormously. I think it's been a really great thing to do.
Marvellous.
I think for me it's been a really valuable and interesting experience as a member of the professional services team at the university. It's an opportunity to take on a more formal academic role as a sort of a percentage of my time, and importantly to increase that collaboration with academic colleagues, with Anne and Will and with others. And I think that sort of probably gives some of that sort of license to operate as a researcher in education. And it's the first time I've done proper, in inverted commas, research since my master's degree 20 years ago or so, and it's been great to have that opportunity to just develop those skills and gain some insight into academic research. I can't pretend that it's been a really easy process trying to figure out how to balance time and resource, and not least as I had a change of my core role partway through the fellowship. But by working with Anne and Will and with the support of Light colleagues, you know, it was very achievable and possible. Yeah
and I absolutely agree with Anne and Thomas that grounding, the scholarship of education sustainable development really helped me better understand my role leading the sustainable curriculum principle on the institutional level. So it's really pushed me away from just the sort of subject specific where I teach out into the broader network and services and other subjects, and really how to collaborate better within that space, and to work in partnership. And I think that's really the strength of what we've found. And that, I think that's a great way for what we do at Leeds. Is one of the great things we do is we're very good at working in partnership when we're given the space and time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's great to hear those kinds of stories, and particularly talking about the collaboration that you've mm-hmm. done together, and how working as a team has really helped you to be successful and bring different perspectives to the fellowship. And I think that, that's it's a great example of how fellowships with multiple team members can succeed in that way. Okay, so, that kind of brings us to the end of our conversation today, and it's been marvellous to hear about a bit more about the fellowship. I worked with you in part on and off, and we got to check in kind of three times a year and see how things were going on. But it's wonderful to kind of hear about the whole thing and the findings, and particularly how they're beneficial for the university, and the process has been beneficial for yourself. So thanks for coming along today and sharing your fellowship story.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.